Cultural and Outdoor Resources Finance Division meeting will come to order. It is April 19th. It is 4:33. On March 22nd, the legislative auditor released the report on libraries before this committee. And at that time, we heard from the Department of Education, but didn't take testimony from anyone else. The goal today is to get feedback from the anyone else, the public, on the report, and then see if we can have a discussion among the committee members about different paths that you may want to pursue. I know that as I've gone over the report and the recommendations and the lot of new material that was presented that is contained in the report, I'm still wondering how are we ever going to understand. But I want to do that. And then I noticed from the people that have signed up to respond to the auditor's report this evening that we are still missing a major component. And so we probably will have at least one other meeting, because I would like to get more of a response or a reaction from the cities and the counties. And so if we do formulate some questions, maybe it can be along that line too, and then we will give them an invitation to come before us, and maybe they will accept. But today, several people did accept the opportunity to present to us. And Minnesota Library Association were the first to step up. And Elaine Keefe and Nick Damasis are here tonight, this evening. Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Nick Damasis. I'm the Assistant Director at East Central Regional Library, one of the 12 regional libraries mentioned in the report. In the year 2010, I'm also the Chair of the Legislative Committee for the Minnesota Library Association, or MLA. On behalf of MLA, I would like to thank the committee for its careful attention to Minnesota libraries. Clearly, it appreciates what libraries are doing on a day-to-day basis. The foundation of what libraries do is cooperation, is partnership, and efficiency. These are our guiding principles, and the results of which are an outstanding library network of services across the state. It's been built up over the years piece by piece. It's eliminated duplication, and it appropriates what works and discards what does not work. Important components of this network are one of the major recommendations of this report, the 7 multi-county, multi-type regional libraries. Also, the 12 public regional libraries, Minitex, MinLink, State Library Services, the Braille and Talking Book Library. These are all important components of that service across the state. With such a complex infrastructure, and these different entities work closely together, and they're intermingled or commingled. And so what concerns is that if any one aspect of that infrastructure is changed, or in the case of a recommendation eliminated, it certainly ripples across and affects the other entities as well as the overall structure of state services. Thus, the recommendation of the audit to move the functions and funding of the 7 multi-type regional libraries to the 12 regional public libraries is of serious concern. It's serious, yes, but it's frightening, no. And in fact, MLA appreciates the opportunity the recommendation provides for the library community to reconsider and perhaps even reconfigure the way that it delivers library services across the state, and that's really the key, delivery. Who delivers those services and how those services are delivered, as the report says, and not whether. And MLA certainly concurs with that. At this time, however, MLA cannot take an institutional position for two reasons. One is that we haven't had time to meet with our partners and our constituencies, all the different types of libraries that make up our membership, and really take a look at what the recommendation and recommendations, what the implication of those would be. Second, we need more details. How would eliminating the multi-type library systems and moving their functions to the 12 public libraries, what would that look like? Is there an inventory of the functions, and is there an accounting of the costs that the multi-types for the services that they provide and to whom? And so a little more detail is needed. And so short of an implementation plan detailing the functions, the funding, timelines, MLA finds it difficult to, at this time, give a recommendation or to give an endorsement of the recommendation. Further, MLA encourages that any implementation plan be crafted by a broad cross-section of library folks. All those, certainly touched by the recommendation, but all those that are part of that infrastructure in the state of Minnesota. I can assure you that this recommendation does not come as a surprise. The state librarian, since the beginning of her tenure, has voiced similar opinions one way or another, that the multi-type regions and the 12 public library regions become one. Also, the report is the result of many of interviews with leaders, public library leaders, and those on the front line, and also even from feedback from surveys sent out, I believe, to the multi-type directors. And so it wasn't crafted, it wasn't written in a corner office. It certainly came from listening to the voices of the library community. Moreover, there are examples of this kind of service already provided. Since 1987, one regional public library system and one multi-county system have been operating with one library board and one administration to provide the kinds of services that both multi-type as well as regional public library systems. Another multi-type and regional system is sort of finishing their plans on their, let's call it, a merger. And I use that word carefully because I've been corrected on that before, but for the sake of this, call it a merger. And then two more regional library systems and its multi-type are beginning their negotiations on how they can merge with the retirement of its director, so as part of their succession planning. In 1979, when the multi-types were formed, clearly it was a different environment. The landscape, however, may have changed, but the services and the needs are still needed. Library circulation statistics, only one part of what libraries provide, but a very big part, moving items around the state, have steadily increased in the 30-year period since the multi-type were enacted. In 1978, circulation was 23 million. Today, it's 58 million. 58 million items moved around the state in a year, a million items a week. That's over 100% increase, and while the population has increased approximately 25%. So the libraries remain extremely relevant and needed. Again, there's no question that the services provided by the multi-types are important. The question simply is, after 30 years, is it time to rearrange the delivery system? MLA understands the audit to be a serious, multi-layered study that requires a thoughtful, deliberative response, and we're committed to giving that response. Finally, I would like to thank the audit team. Joe Voss and Emmy Bennett impressed all those being interviewed with their deep knowledge of all things library and their professionalism. And certainly their knowledge of libraries allowed everyone to get past the basics and to really dig into what are the broader issues affecting, long-term issues affecting libraries. The word audit can be intimidating to those being audited, but the two certainly were a pleasure, and that's as it should be as we look to try to make the services as efficient and best for all Minnesotans. So again, thanks to the committee for its attention to and confidence in its Minnesota libraries.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the testifier. We should help me to understand the need for various levels in the multi-type, regional, federated. What does multi-type do that's different from regional, or is there the constituency that they serve different?
Okay, Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, one of the reasons for the recommendation, and one of the reasons that the state librarian saw when she came in, is that there is some overlap between the two. A regional public library system serves the public. So the public libraries, and simply the multi-type regional systems move materials from, say, K-12 schools to, if a high school student in Grove City needs an item from the Duluth Public Library, the University of Minnesota, the multi-type regional system is the entity that would facilitate that exchange. So the student, yes, could go to the public library, but really through the school to the university library and back happens through the multi-type regional library. So like its name, multi-type, it's dealing with all the different types of libraries, whereas the 12 regional libraries are public libraries.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the assertion then of the report is that the regional library could do that.
Demasis.
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, that is what the assertion of the report is, yes.
Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm still learning kind of all the differences and the diversity we have across the state. But since we have Minitex and MinLink, which really kind of integrates kind of all the holdings, as I understand it, across regions, is there a preference to filling an order within the region, and then if it's not available within the region, you go outside? Because it seems to me in this modern age, when you can have gigantic databases that are very fast, the only advantage to having a regional sharing is if somehow the material gets there faster. I just wonder if there's, as technology has changed, if we need to reevaluate what the role is as a result of better technology, more compatible, pro cataloging of the materials, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Demasis.
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, clearly there's always a need, and libraries are constantly looking at ways that they can improve, ways, as I said, to appropriate what works, and certainly in the last 20, 30 years, technology is a major part of that, and we are not, and so something like MinLink. Just to explain real quickly, if I can, when libraries automated, and they went from the card catalog, they automated, put their holdings on computers, and those were often within that library system. And then along came the web, and now you could connect from home to that library system. And so regional libraries have the different library systems, even some counties have it. And what Representative Loeffler is referring to is MinLink, which is one more way of connecting all those different library systems around the state so that a citizen in Minnesota could sit, could log on to MinLink and order a book from any library in the state of Minnesota. And Minitex is Minitex delivers over a million items through MinLink for the multi-types, for the regional public libraries when they're going from system to system across that. So certainly, yes, we can harness the technology that's out there, and examining that would definitely be a worthwhile endeavor.
But, Mr. Damascus, as I looked at the public library director's questionnaire results that Ms. Voss mm-hmm. sent on to us and we placed in your packets today, Representative Loeffler, on page 11 of that questionnaire, question 30. This is one that I had marked down because it seemed like that would have huge numbers of people or huge numbers of assistants or somewhere, and yet assistants related to technology. No one was very satisfied. Five were satisfied. 15 were neither satisfied nor dissatisfied. 7 were dissatisfied and 5 were very dissatisfied. And 40 didn't receive any services in technology at all. And so wouldn't that be the one thing that libraries should be working together on and striving for better solutions? Or am I misinterpreting what technology is?
Okay. Madam Chair, I'm
Mr. Damascus.
Can you... I don't have that document.
Oh.
I don't know. Oh, okay. Thanks.
This one, that thing just kind of jumped out at me.
Well, while he's looking at that, I can just say, Madam Chair, that if you look on page 8, item 23, in terms of the services that people get from their regional library system and they're most satisfied with, the top of the list is interlibrary loan and delivery. Mm-hmm. But that's where my question was, since we have this statewide catalog, and I know tons of books from the Minneapolis Library go all over the state. They have unique holdings that other libraries don't have. Why is there even a regional look at that? I mean, it seems like to me like you could have one statewide computer system. It would automatically prioritize sending you the closest book or sending you to the closest library that had something your local library didn't have. And you wouldn't need a regional intermediary at all if we had... And maybe we need more technology to evolve to that. But to me, with technology enables us to get past regional. I can understand when it was regional, when it was you had to drive and pick up a book, or you know, you'd make a run once a week to the regional center or to an academic library, and you got all the requests that were from that particular library in that area. But now that we have a much more network system, I'm just wondering whether or not it's as needed to look at the regional access. Maybe it's useful in terms of figuring out demand for particular books and that sort of thing, but that was the thing that was confusing to me, was that we have a statewide collection, why aren't we, that's held in all kinds of different entities and all have agreed to share, as far as I know. And so I just wasn't sure about what that meant. In particular, I think of it for the half the state that lives in the metro region. I don't know. That's one thing I was disappointed with the report. It didn't really address what the role was in the value added in the metro region, where it's a different situation than when you're supporting a lot of, where you have a lot of big mega systems, as opposed to a lot of small rural mix of city and county libraries, and the regional thing brings them together for perhaps continuing education and for planning and, you know, joint collection, perhaps, you know, prioritizing and some other things. I don't know. But within the metro, I wasn't quite sure if it was the same, it played the same role.
Okay. Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, that's such a huge issue that you bring up. What I'm hearing is, now that we have MnLink to cover the state, why have the individual databases which MnLink, in fact, connects together? Why not just, if everything's on the holdings of MnLink, go with that? And I don't, it's just a, that's a huge issue. I suppose it comes down to funding as well. Most of the funding for public libraries are local funding. Does Hennepin County or St. Paul get rid of its catalog and put everything on MnLink? I don't think I'm prepared to answer that kind of question. If I understand what you're saying, I think I do. What's that?
Ms. Keith.
Madam Chair, I'm really just up here to help Mr. Damascus answer questions, and I was letting him kind of twist in the wind there. But some of those questions, the answers are really, I think, a little more technical than I'm used to answering. I do want to make it clear, though, I'm just looking at this survey, and you asked about this item on page 11, and the question that was asked was, which of the following services does your library currently receive from state library services? That's the library office within the Department of Education. So many libraries are receiving these services from their regional public library, if they're a public library, or, you know, through Minitex and MnLink. But this question was specifically about services received from the Department of Education. So I think that's
an
important distinction.
And that would be separate from what they receive from the regional library or the multi-system.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Is it above and beyond, or is it instead? Are the services from the Department of Education library, the state librarian's office, is that in addition above and beyond the region, or is it instead of the region or the multi-service?
Madam Chair, I'll
try that.
I think she wants me to twist some more, so she told me to go ahead and answer this. State Library Services doesn't really provide library services to the regions. What it does is it certainly provides oversight on the funding, the region RLBSS, the Regional Library Basic System Support, and RLTA, and those kinds of things. But it most of the action is happening out at the regional libraries, whether it's public regional libraries, whether it's multi-type regional libraries. Minitex moves a lot of things around. MnLink is the sort of the universal catalog for the state, but State Library Services doesn't have that day-to-day kind of involvement in library services, which was cited in the report as well, in their role and whether it's as much as library folks would like.
Thank you for that clarification. Any other questions? Representative Haas.
It seems in the audit, both in my reading and people talking to me about it, that the focus of the audit was to the regional systems, but the recommendation for changes is to the multiple system, which many feel was understudied. Is that a wrong feeling?
Mr. Damascus.
Take that one.
Oh, Ms. Keith.
I get the more political questions, Madam Chair. Representative Haas, no, I think that's probably a fair assessment. I mean, that was part of our initial reaction, too, and I think you're going to hear testimony a little later on from a representative of the multi-types, Ms. Walker-Smalley. And I'm quite sure that that's a point that she'll make, too. I've met with the multi-type directors, and their feeling was that in their... They each had individual interviews with the legislative auditor's staff who worked on this report, and that they were, because the focus of this report was public libraries, they were not only not encouraged, they were, I guess, prohibited, really, from talking about, you know, the broader mission that they have in serving all kinds of libraries and the kinds of services that they provide to them. And so I think that there are people who are concerned that the focus of this report was public libraries, and yet the most significant, by far, recommendation was to merge the multi-types into the public libraries without perhaps having looked at the broader mission of the multi-types.
If, Representative Haas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if that's true, if we have a correct focus then on the change of the multiple type system, is that just coincidental to the study? I mean, it seems to me that we have a change being recommended to the multiple system based on a regional study, and then we're going to go through and prove that recommendation is correct, or what are we doing? I don't understand what we're doing. Second part of that question is, if you did all that adaptation for change, how much money would be saved and who loses their job? Yeah, that's just a question.
Madam Chair, Representative Haas, my answer would be, as I said, and with the MLA cannot give its recommendation right now, or its endorsement of the recommendation, because it doesn't know those kinds of doesn't know the answers to those questions. It hasn't seen an implementation plan. How will the services continue to be provided, and what will that look like, and what will the funding be, and what's the timeline? So without lacking that kind of detail, MLA, Minnesota Library Association, can't endorse it right at this time.
One last question.
Representative Haas.
Why do you think in this audit that the multiple type system libraries was left out? I mean, why did we not go out and get input and study those to the extent that we were going to make a recommendation of them? It seems that that the audit is really lacking in focus, if that's what the change is going to come about. I just don't see how we get to that recommendation without the adequate study of the system that we're recommending changing. I guess that's a comment.
And Representative Haas, maybe when we're done with the people that are testifying, maybe the legislative auditors will want to come to the desk and answer some questions.
Thank you for allowing me my question and comment.
Thank you. Anything else? Thank you very much.
Madam Chair.
Lisa Finsness. Dr. Finsness, thank you for coming before us, and please tell us your role as chair of the State Library Advisory Committee.
Well, first, I'd like to say thank you very much, Chair Murphy, and all of the legislators and the auditors that are here today, and my colleagues in the audience as well. I've served on the Minnesota Library Advisory this is about my third year, and recently was elected the chair of the committee. And I would like to just share, I have a lot of information, and I know we are short on time, so I am going to go. You have a PowerPoint in front of you as well as a as well as a handout in yellow. And so I'm going to go through the library advisory. As you probably know, is intended to represent all of the libraries types in Minnesota: public, private, school libraries, academic libraries. And it is comprised of members representing the your congressional districts all over the state. So its intention is to provide multiple perspectives, and so the recommendations that you have before you today from that advisory, a response to the audit, are based on a group made up of that representation. So I'm going to go through, you had four recommendations, and our group met about a week and a half ago and reviewed your work very seriously. And my purpose today is to comment and on the advisory committee's recommendations. So the first recommendation that you had, that the auditors have, is to reduce the duplication and the entrance and to enhance the coordination. And to do that, the legislature should eliminate the multi-type cooperation systems and move their function and funding into the regional public library system. That was on page 68 of the report. And the council supports this recommendation, given that the funding for the multi-type follows the functions that are currently supported. The funding and all of the functions that are currently in the multi-types continue to be supported because they're very essential. They have a vast difference in our citizens in the community of Minnesota. And that the funding formula be analyzed and structured to ensure that regions do not lose funding, that this is not supplanting, or that this is the funding moves with the multi-types into whatever the regional landscape looks like. And that recognition is given to the unique needs of different types of libraries. The council also recommends that there be a name change in the regional library systems to reflect the multi-type nature of the new organization. And that we develop an inclusive process to ensure that the multi-type services are not lost or diminished. And the advisory council is willing and expects to be involved in a development of this inclusive process because it is an inclusive committee. OLA recommendation number two is that the library services should work more closely with regional public library systems to help identify and address critical needs and issues that have statewide implications. The council recommendation for number two is that with the resources currently available, the state is already meeting the critical needs. And by the way, the council does support this recommendation as well with the following caveats. And that additional funding is needed to extend activities such as sites, visits, and training. The council also supports this recommendation given that it established funding for a teacher librarian position at the state level. Since the state level is in the Minnesota Department of Education division and is concerned with student achievement, we know that there are many replicated studies that show that having teacher librarians within schools contribute positively to student achievement. And resources are listed on the bottom of that slide and in your document as well. The council looks forward to working with the state librarian and the library community to identify and resolve our critical issues. Council, the auditor's report recommendation number three states that that it recommends that the legislature should require the state librarian to issue a biennial State of the State for Public Libraries report to the appropriate legislative committee by January 1 of each odd number year. The council heartily recommends this, but would like to go even further. We feel that the state librarian should be expected to make a verbal and a written report each year and to come before the relevant legislative committees. We also feel that the advisory committee should be at the table when the state librarian provides her report. The fourth recommendation from the auditors report is that the state library services should develop a process to verify local government spending for maintenance of effort certification using the best data available from the state auditor's office and the Department of Education's annual public library survey. The council also supports this recommendation, given that a task force be established to develop common and consistent reporting standards. Because currently, the various methodologies used by the agencies reporting for the maintenance of effort create discrepancies and lead to inaccurate and unreliable data. The Advisory Council and the State Library Services will present recommendation standards developed by the task force to the appropriate legislative committee. In addition, while we were reviewing the auditor's report, we found we would like to propose the following recommendations. And these are based on two of the auditor's findings on page 34, which stated, the State Library Services has not fulfilled key areas of its mission related to library standards, planning, and evaluation. And for the most part, the library community wants and expects the State Library Services to assume more of a leadership role and is critical of the agency when it does not act in this capacity. Stated from the report, based on the first comment on the previous slide, that this is from that report, it cited various factors to explain State Library Services problems, including inadequate funding and too few staff. The committee agrees, and we are aware of problems, but we know that it's difficult to adequately fund, for instance, the Braille and Talking Book Library, which was not even addressed in this report. And the Braille and Library also takes up a large part of the State Library Services budget, and it serves as a public library for the specific community needs that it services. The auditor's report at the bottom of page 34 made several important statements in their survey of public library directors. The report stated that most respondents agreed or strongly agreed that, and this information is taken directly from the report and the page numbers are noted on page 34, that the State Library Services should advocate more for public libraries. 93% of the respondents stated that. 83% of the respondents said that they should distribute best practices and set a vision for public libraries. That was 63%. In addition, 50% of the respondents agreed or strongly agreed that State Library Services should adopt public library standards that libraries could choose to meet. And 42% said that the agency should adopt standards that public libraries would expect to meet. The council's recommendation, based on that information from the auditor's report and from what we know is true, is that we recommend that to the division and to the legislature that we charge the Department of Education to develop a state plan and standards, that a line item and adequate budget be established to strengthen state library services in order to accomplish these tasks as requested by the library community and to carry out the important recommendations of the auditor. Thank you very much.
So, Dr. Finsness, who appoints the council? Or how does the council get picked from the congressional districts?
Well, I'll answer that question the best that I know how, because I was a person that was picked. But I believe that, and we have not gone through a process of appointing new members since I've been on the council, on the advisory council. But it appears in the office from the governor. I believe that's from the Secretary of State's office. I'm not sure. And those appointments, and then you complete an application, and then your credentials are reviewed and the choices are made to fulfill the congressional districts and the multi-library parts. So, for example, when I was originally chosen, I was a director for a school district's libraries. So I represented Congressional District 3 and the K through 12 public library system.
And you're an advisory council to the State Library Services?
Yes.
Okay. And you are the chairperson for the council comes out of the 8 congressional districts?
Yes.
Do you receive service from the state librarian's office then?
I'm sorry, services in a way?
To get your group together and to form your agendas and that kind of stuff. Or are you separate from?
No, we work with the state librarian and her staff.
Okay.
And she provides the, she works with the chair to create the agenda. At one time there was a budget per meeting. I think all those budgets have been eliminated, but we still meet anyway because we care. Okay. With her.
And the funding for the, council, the needs of the council then comes from the appropriation to the state librarian's office.
We don't receive any compensation. At one point, people that came from International Falls received funds. I don't know that. I don't know what those were because I live, 10 minutes away. So we don't receive any compensation.
And you apply for the position through the governor appointment
yes.
process?
That's correct.
And are you on rotating? How many members are there?
I believe
8?
Right now there are 12 members. We have 13 congressional districts? I'm not sure. Yeah, we have. We don't have every district covered right now.
But we have 8 congressional districts.
We have 8 congressional districts. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You would know that answer. We also have 4 ex officio members.
And you're not all elected at the same, or
no,
nominated at the same time.
We have people going off. Right now, we're just in the process of, we have new applications that we're planning to review at the next meeting. We meet every other month, 6 times a year.
And you're not all librarians?
No, we're not. We represent public. We have a public member who unfortunately just needed to go off to represent the Braille and book talking. She is a user of that library. We have other people that are maybe not friends of the library, but very good advocates for libraries. School library media specialist, coordinator, private law library, multi-type, regional.
Any additional questions? Thank you very much for presenting. Mary Messicomer, Network Coordinator, Lynx Region 1. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mary Messicomer, and I work in Moorhead, Minnesota, and I serve a school district cooperative of 70 public school districts and 4 regional public library systems. And I wanted to come and speak to you today about our direct experience with our regional public library systems and also with our multi-type system, the Northern Lights Library Network, as an end user. To do that, I need to give you a little background about the different roles that I play in my work up at Region 1. And one is I'm a wide area network administrator, so I manage all the telecommunications access for the schools and libraries in our area of the state. The second thing I do is, out of Region 1, we offer a hosted library automation system for school and special libraries using the Follett Destiny software, and that is called the North Star Library Consortium. And we currently have about 80 school district members with over about 150 school sites on that system. Secondly, I am also a member of the Minnesota Education Media Organization, which is the professional organization for school librarians, technology coordinators, and technology integrationists. And thirdly, I do need to tell you I'm also a public library board member for the Lake Agassiz Public Library System. I just wanted to, given the discussion that we are having today about the multi-type systems and the recommendation in the legislative auditor's report, I just wanted to give you an accurate picture of some of the services that a multi-type regional library system provides, particularly in an area of rural Minnesota. Our 70 school districts plus are part of the Northern Lights Library Network, which is a multi-type system that serves Northwest Minnesota. In addition to helping our school districts obtain materials from the public library system, they provide an interface between the public library system and the school libraries in the case where a school library doesn't have enough materials to cover a certain area of curriculum or needs some assistance in getting some materials shipped in from another library system. That's just one of the many things they provide us. They also work very closely with our school libraries in terms of developing professional development for our school librarians. And I'm sure you have probably heard testimony in the past about the crisis that we are in with our school libraries in Minnesota today. We are losing our school library media specialists at an alarming rate due to budget cuts and retirements. And the multi-type library system in our area works very hard with us to put together staff development to make sure that the school librarians we still have in place remain effective and have access to training that they need to do their jobs in helping our students build information and technology literacy skills, 21st century skills, and to also help the teachers in their schools be proficient with the many resources that are provided online through the Electronic Library of Minnesota, or ELM, and the resources provided through MinLink. So our multi-type does a lot of work with our schools in terms of training and staff development, in addition to materials. In addition to that, they also provide work with early childhood programs in our areas to make sure that those programs have access to materials for providers of early childhood programs for the pre-K generation of students. And they also help us to provide scholarships to our school library media specialists and teachers to attend professional development events. As you probably know, staff development funds in schools are also becoming a budget cut in many cases, and in many times it's very difficult to get a library media specialist out of her facility where she's teaching, or he or she is teaching, teaching information technology literacy skills and other curriculum related to research, to actually get professional development for their own skills development. So our multi-type helps us to do that. So I just wanted to give you kind of a working example of how a multi-type region serves a large area in Northwest Minnesota, and to just really relay my concern that while I know that the legislative auditor's report recommends doing away with the multi-types and merging them or somehow mixing them with the regional public library systems. From the public library standpoint, I also want to point out that as a board member on a public regional public library system, we are really struggling with budgets and cost issues also. And so this is not a recommendation that can be made with the expectation that the public library systems can just pick it up and run with it. There's going to, if that choice is made to move into a merging situation, there needs to be funding provided so that the regional public library systems can pick up what the multi-types have been doing. Those services are very critical to our schools particularly in the rural area where I work. And so I just wanted to share that insight with you, and I'd be quite happy to answer any questions.
Ms. Messicomer, who are you employed by?
I am employed by Region 1, which is an education cooperative of school districts in Northwest Minnesota. So we are a nonprofit, basically, and what our mission is we provide technology and information services to public schools, both within Minnesota, and we have a few districts we serve in North Dakota as well.
And all in all, you said 70 school districts. How many city and county libraries and other entities, governmental entities that you work for?
Okay. Region 1, we serve school districts primarily. And so we serve school districts actually from all over the state. However, we have a large group, of course, within our geographic boundaries of Northwest Minnesota, but Region 1 also serves through the North Star Destiny Consortium for School Libraries. We also serve several districts within the Central Minnesota Library Exchange, and as far south as, I believe, right now, there is some conversation going on with some of the smaller districts in the southeast side of the state in terms of joining the consortium for the library side of services, the public libraries, the library automation services that we provide. And that is just a hosted solution. We have a server that we host the Follett software so that the school libraries can all have their catalogs automated and backed up and be able to use them with their students at their schools and not have the extra burden of having the technical side of things, having to host that at their own district. In terms of the other services Region 1 provides, we also provide a student services system and a human resource system and a finance system to public schools.
Okay. And Northwest Regional Library, Lake Agassiz, Otter Tail Viking Library System, and Kitchigami Regional Library Systems are all within
correct
your multi
correct
region
as well
one
yes as well as northern Northwest Regional Library System, the very northwest
yes.
corner
yes the pink one
yes
okay. Well, I appreciate that you drove all the way down, talked with us, and give us this information, because it's another layer that we did not mm-hmm. read about. and that's helpful.
Yes.
But it sounds like you do a lot of work.
Yes, Madam
for
Chair.
Many people and children.
Yes, we do. And just as a purpose of clarification, the Region 1 link to the library part is the part where we provide the telecommunications access to our public library systems, and then our partnership with Northern Lights Library Network, the multi-type, is through our North Star Consortia hosted library automation program for the school libraries.
And where are your office?
We are officed in Moorhead, South Moorhead.
In the school district?
No, we have a separate facility, yes, a small office building, because we have a server farm in there, and so we've got about 20 employees.
And that's how many people work in the building?
Yes, correct. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ann Walker Smalley, Director of MetroNet. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Smalley.
Thank you, Madam Smalley. Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Ann Walker Smalley, and I am the director of Metronet, but I'm here to represent the 7 multi-county, multi-type library systems in the state of Minnesota. Metronet is the system that covers the metro, the 7-county metro area. I appreciate the committee requesting the testimony of the multi-types here today, because we do have a variety of concerns and questions about the auditor's report and the way the recommendation was conceived. We do believe that this individual recommendation is somewhat flawed, because the report did focus on public libraries, and in our interviews with the auditor staff, we were not able to convey the full range of services that we provide to school, public, academic, and special libraries in each of our regions. Earlier testifiers gave a somewhat narrow view of the work that multi-types do. For example, in Metronet, we do not move materials from one library to another. Instead, we focus on infrastructure through continuing education. We have 7,000 contact hours annually with school library media specialists and teachers on integrating 21st century skills, the Elm databases, Web 2.0 technologies into classroom and media teaching. Other multi-types do provide more interlibrary loan. They do provide delivery, but we all are part of the infrastructure that serves libraries and library staff as opposed to end users in the long run. I would like to say I think that this recommendation does sound very simple, to make 12 regional public library systems into 12 multi-type library systems by transferring the funding and the functions of multi-type systems to regional public library systems. But in reality, this one-size-fits-all recommendation really will not work. There are 12 regional public library systems and only 7 multi-type systems. So some of the multi-types cover, as Ms. Messcomer said, 4 regional library systems. And within those 4, some of them are consolidated and some are federated public library systems, which adds a layer of complexity to transferring functions and services. So there are lots of questions that need to be asked before any of these recommendations could be implemented easily. The report does say that the current regional public library system is working well, and major changes in how library services are organized, funded, and delivered are not needed at this time. However, I would like to point out that transferring functions of long-established multi-type library systems, whose primary clientele are not public libraries but are school libraries and academic libraries and special libraries, transferring all of those functions to the regional public library systems is indeed a major change in how library services are delivered and organized. One of our questions would be, is our public libraries really prepared to take on those 1,500 additional member libraries in the systems as they're structured now? Currently, the regional public libraries, as you will notice in the statistics of the report, there are about 300 or so public library buildings in the state of Minnesota. That would add on 1,500 libraries of school, public, academic, and special, whether prison libraries, hospital libraries, all types of libraries would then become members of these new multi-type library systems. The report is also clear that there are very limited cost savings in this particular recommendation, and our expectation would be that there would actually be additional costs in this new hybrid multi-type system. It does not necessarily reduce any of the complexity which we all face when we talk about libraries in Minnesota. We know city, county libraries, regional public library systems, multi-type systems, all the M words, Minitex, Minlink, the rest, really do add some layers of complexity here. The auditor's report also acknowledges that not all of the public library, regional public library systems offer the same level of service to their members. Some offer substantially more and extra services. So when you add the complexity of the wide range of services that the multi-types offer, this would just make it that much more complicated to make sure that all the libraries that would be members of these new systems would be eligible to receive these services and that they would remain at the same high quality that they're used to receiving now, either through their multi-type or if they're public libraries, through their public library systems. As multi-types, we really do welcome the evolution into multi-type systems. We understand the power of a multi-type library system when all libraries work together to the same long-term goal, which is improved library service to every resident of Minnesota. But to reach this goal, we really need to address a lot of the questions of governance, of funding, how the structures would operate, and we want this to happen in a thoughtful, inclusive manner. The multi-type directors really have been vocal advocates for the evaluation and evolution of how library services are offered. Last fall, we began conversations with our colleagues, either in the regional public library systems, in school districts, other types of libraries, to really address some of these issues with what we're informally calling a Libraries Futures Initiative, to set up a system where not so much those of us that are considered old dogs in the Minnesota library community, but to set up a structure so that the new generation of librarians that are going to face all these economic and social changes that are impacting everyone, how will we be able to meet these needs of new Minnesotans, or all Minnesotans actually, as we move forward. So we've spearheaded this idea of a Library Futures Initiative to look at a lot of the questions that, as it turned out, are addressed in this auditor's report. So I have addressed our most immediate concerns, but I'd like to leave you with this list of questions to address as you consider this recommendation and the other recommendations in the auditor's report. And the first would be, what changes will need to take place in regional public library system governance, funding streams, service delivery, and other areas to fully integrate the addition of school, academic, and special libraries? How will non-public libraries have fair representation on governance boards in a new structure? How does this recommendation recognize the differences between consolidated and federated public library systems, and how each of those would integrate other types of libraries into their governance and funding streams? Will non-public libraries, such schools, prisons, hospitals, history centers, now have to be charged for services that they receive without additional fees via their membership in a multi-type library system? And will fees impact the equitability of service that is offered to these non-public libraries? And how will service equitability be ensured for libraries? And will any services now offered have to be eliminated to accommodate these new members in a new multi-type library environment? We do appreciate all the work that this committee has done and the work of the legislative auditor. It really has become sort of a primer on how public libraries operate, how Minitex is integrated into the state system, and also state library services. The big piece that's missing here is, what do the multi-types do, and how we support the infrastructure statewide as well. So we think this report could serve as a starting point, whether for a library initiative, futures initiative, or other discussions on how library systems should evolve to encompass all types of libraries, to encompass a huge range of library services that are in demand now, and move forward into the 21st century.
Thank you, Ms. Walker-Smalley. This was a very thoughtful list of questions that you gave us, too, that we have to ponder. Would you go back to your beginning remarks? But you said your primary service in training?
One of Metronet's primary, each multi-type, when the multi-types were, back in the day, the multi-types were designed to react to the needs of their individual regions. So because Metronet in the metro area, where we are rich in library resources, including the ability to transfer materials via interlibrary loan or other way, Metronet never went that direction. MentorNet has provided a lot of support services to library staff through continuing education. We have been leaders in teaching library staff how to use Web 2.0 tools. We work very closely with Minneapolis Public Schools, with District 112, and with District 16 to teach what we call information literacy skills, which really means how to integrate these 21st century skills in your classroom. Because so many media centers are understaffed, they really need the support of an organization like MentorNet to expand their capability to work with their teachers, and that's what we do. That's a year-long program. But we also work, for example, in collaboration with MELSA, the Regional Public Library System in the Twin Cities, to provide other continuing education opportunities which help connect public library staff with teachers and media specialists as well. We have something called Camp Read a Lot, which is a summer-long book program that culminates in a full 2 days of, we call it day camp, but it involves author talks and literature experts. And it gives the opportunity of school and public libraries to meet face-to-face. We are in a collaboration with the Minnesota History Center on History Day at your library, which really displays the richness of the library collections in the state of Minnesota to teachers, media specialists, and other librarians who work with students on History Day projects in the state of Minnesota. That's been a very successful collaboration. So really, MetroNet's role is making those connections happen between school, public, academic, and special libraries. Other regions have very different sets of services. They really do focus on materials delivery or answering questions. For example, I know in central Minnesota, school libraries can call Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange and say, you know, I need 60 books on poetry appropriate for grades, you know, 3 to 5 for our poetry unit. No media center is going to have a collection like that. Chances are most public libraries are not going to have a collection like that that can be loaned en masse. So that staff will identify the titles, collect the titles, and arrange for the loan to that school who needs those. Northern Lights with the North Star Library Consortium, they provide a lot of support to those libraries that are members of that ILS, or Integrated Library Management System service. So everybody is different because the multi-types evolve to serve the needs of their region that were either holes left because nobody was filling them or because we could identify services that need to be done.
And MetroNet covers the same area that MELSA
does. Yes, it does. We have contiguous boundaries to MELSA, which makes it easy to collaborate and cooperate when your boundaries are the same.
And how many employees are in MetroNet?
3.
And where do you work out of?
We're at 1619 Dayton Avenue, which is the old Richards Gordon School building, Family Tree Clinic now. At Marshall and Dayton.
And then you present these training opportunities when the teachers or the librarians or the people that need the service are during their daily work or after work or
after
in
work.
The evening mostly?
In Minneapolis, we meet from 5 to 7 twice a month, from September to May. If you'd like to join us, we'll be at Edison High School at 5 o'clock on Thursday. We meet from after school, approximately 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock at Spring Lake Park High School. And then we meet twice a month, alternating between Chaska High School and the new Chanhassen High School. And that's 3:30 to 5:30, two other nights a month.
So that's like in service for the
It's
for
in
the
service,
recipient?
Yes, for that. And we collaborate with the school district on what kind of credit those teachers and media specialists receive for attending. I mean, it's a huge time commitment for teachers mm-hmm. because in addition to the 2 hours we're face-to-face with them, they have to attend a half an hour online seminar that we also provide, and we do 2 full days of training in August, and we have expectations that they'll spend an hour to an hour and a half each week working on our topics. We're tough.
Do you give assignments?
We do give assignments.
All right.
We love assignments.
I know. It feels so good.
I know, and we like to see their progress.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the invitation. We appreciate it.
I was going to do one. Okay. In your packets, there are some questions. Possible discussion items for our roundtable. Representative Houseman.
Madam Chair, I didn't ask the testifier this question because I thought it was really more my comment to the committee as part of your next step here. But it sounds like you're going to take us to those questions, and so I thought maybe I'd mention this first. You know, my guess is that sometimes legislative audit reports cause us to look internally and say something's very wrong in terms of how a service is delivered or, you know, something. There's, I think of the lottery where we quickly rush to pass a bill. But sometimes it might cause us to look at structure. And what jumps out at me in the Metronet report to us is this advice that we ask questions of funding, governance, service equity, and other structural considerations. And I was struck by those words because in a totally other part of my legislative world, which is transit, those are the questions that I've been pushing us to talk about. Because over time, you have to take a new look at them as regions change and so forth. And so this may move us into a direction of asking, and of course, you know, some questions have been laid out for us in this presentation. So my guess is that how we might choose to respond to this legislative audit report might be different than how we might have responded, for example, to that the one on the lottery. That it's more an issue of stepping back and saying, if we were reinventing the wheel, how would we do it?
I'm not even sure we can do that, Representative Houseman. But I'm not sure, as a result of this, that we have a lot more information now, but I'm not sure we're any clearer on what we should do with the information than what we had before. And I thought we were going to have, it would be more obvious what the clear-cut answers are, and they're not. And like I said at the beginning, we have to look at the total because of the recommendation on the multi-system, but then that brings in the scary thought that was just pointed out to us by the last two speakers about that's another 1,500 libraries that we have to consider. And we don't have very much information on the total funding of libraries, school libraries. What part of the education money did school libraries get? I don't know that, and I don't think that it's broken down. We do know that about $14.6 million from the state education appropriations were paid to state library services last year, but have no idea what the cities and counties are putting in, And as the report shows, we don't know if how they are addressing their maintenance of effort promises. And they're applying for new recognition of their problems, but do we have any business saying what should be done for city and counties, except that the report shows that we are, you know, all the libraries seem to, many more customers and many more services are being requested of the libraries across the state. In the schools, in the cities, in the counties, and from the regional library services. And there doesn't seem to be new monies going in there. And if there were changes that we want, it was subtly suggested to us that we have to provide the money for it. And yet there's a, from the report, we see that there's a totally imbalance in many areas of what some people are receiving for library services and what others are. And the, you know, going from a very small amount per capita to almost $100 per capita. And how do we build in a fairness, and what do we do? And so this isn't going to be simple, and we're not going to be done with this for a long time, I don't think. But I think you're very wise in pointing out that these questions are the backbones that we have to come to understanding about governance and funding streams and service deliveries. And before anybody gets excited about anything, we have to figure out what we're going to be asking for.
And then, Madam Chair, one just follow-up a question to you. I'm wondering whether you received, after the legislative auditor's report, broad-based input from people, unsolicited perhaps, in response. I did receive one from a very knowledgeable person in my district, which I forwarded to you. I would say probably of the acquaintances in my district, I would guess that this person probably knows about as much as anyone in the room, and who was very, I think, sympathetic to or supportive of observations from the legislative auditor, and whether there has been that kind of broad input from others that you have received.
I haven't excuse me, Representative Houston. I haven't received a large amount. Patricia Post sent a very well thought out letter, and the one that you, and I think I got two others, and that's all. And so that's one of the reasons why I said that we should have public testimony today. And then one of the other, and then based on the public testimony that we received today, I would like to invite the counties and the cities and various people that work with the counties and the cities, maybe some people from the regional advisory council, library councils, to respond to the auditor's report and to the problems that they're having with especially the cutbacks of local government aids and the fact that they have to continue the maintenance of effort. Thank goodness, because otherwise where would libraries be? But what are the expectations too of library services. And in my experience, to be very honest, I haven't had a whole lot of conversations with city and county people except when there's cutbacks. And then they rise up like this, they're being penalized in some way. But also, you know, last year, Representative Reinert introduced his bill that's still out here that said that city libraries should be able to charge the people that do not live in the city for use of their services. Well, I got high on my little horse and said, well, sure, Roger Reinert, you can do that. But do you want me to stop my donation to the Friends of the Duluth Public Library? And do you want me to stop my donation to the Duluth Community Library Foundation, which is a lot more than your $25 would be bringing in if I had to pay for $25 for my library card? And I said, I don't have a Duluth City Library card, even though I go to the Duluth City Library. I have an Arrowhead Regional card. And I use that Arrowhead Regional card at the library on Rice Street that I go to when I run out of books down here. It hasn't happened this session, but I can barely get through a book in 6 weeks now. But these are questions that legislators and funders that have concerns about our libraries have to consider, I think. And so our work is not done, even though the clock has almost brought us to the end of our time today. I'm asking the committee to each one of you to make three statements or three questions of concern or comment that you would like to make sure that before we go too much farther, we should pursue the answer to, or that we should have a discussion about. And if you could get those three things into Ms. Anton and Ms. Conley in the next few days, I'll figure out our next step. Really appreciate everybody that came today and your thoughtful presentations. On Wednesday morning at 8:30, we are scheduled to hear Representative Hansen's ice rink bill again. And he will be on DE4. However, we have session at that time, and so we have a choice of after session meeting on the DE4 ice rink document or Thursday morning. And I would be glad to hear of your input.
At your home in Duluth?
Not right now. But those are the two choices I have. I'm sure there's plenty of rooms available on Thursday morning, 8:30. If you'd rather do that. And so just tell Representative Morgan or myself what you're thinking.
Oh, we will.
About that issue. But Representative Morgan?
Madam Chair, I would like to move the adoption of the Thursday, April 15 minutes as submitted.
Any additions or corrections?
No, they were delightful.
If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Is there any other business to come before this committee at this time? This meeting is adjourned.